This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy, beautiful Tuesday. Dan Abel Jr. is the Chief Chocolate Officer of Bissinger's. We all know and love Bissinger's. Dan's here because I saw some sort of a posting or an advertisement or something for this 4-pound friggin' chocolate turkey for Thanksgiving. And I'm like, must have, call Dan. And he brought one in for me, and it's beautiful. And he brought in some stuff for the guys. And we're eating it right now, having some truffles and some gummy pandas and stuff like that. It's like being Willy Wonka. Right?
I think so.
Like, everywhere you go, people are like, Dan's here.
I mean, I got 3 movies out of it.
If you show up with no chocolate, people are just like, what the hell are you even doing?
I was at the golf course the other day. It was 90 degrees. They're like, do you show up with chocolate? I'm like, honestly, if it was 70, I would have.
I love it.
Melted chocolate is okay, but only in the comfort of a kitchen.
So yeah. I don't know if you know my thing. My kids call me Malibu Dave because I've been so many people and I want to be so many people. And one of my dreams is to be a chocolatier. And all I know about it is you make chocolate. That's like the extent of what I know.
Chocolate
but I just
tastes good.
Love like shows about it, and like I just think it's so cool. Tell me your story.
So, well, first of all, we can make that happen for the day if you want to become a chocolatier.
Let's do it today.
We're also opening in the future in 2025 a bar and a coffee shop, so we can be a chocolatier for the day, and then we can make a cocktail to celebrate.
Done, man.
Your progress.
Done and done.
So there's that. Let's just keep that one always going. But you know what I love to do the best is as the company's grown over the years, we have my whole family's involved, and there's a lot of businessy things. There's accounting, there's payroll, there's payables, there's, you know, and luckily I have other siblings that are really involved and they handle that, which allows me to literally get my hands in the product. And I love developing it. And I don't nearly come up with all of the ideas, and just, I like to kind of come up with the concept and then bring the family and the team in as kind of a sounding board. So it takes a village. But I love product development. I love creating new things. Some of the products that we just brought in today, those 3 of them are brand new. And, you know, we all kind of, I got to be a Willy Wonka. You know, if I can do that, and out of an 8 to 10 hour day, if I can do that for at least 5 or 6 of the hours,
yeah,
it's exciting.
It's a good day.
Yeah, it's a great
day. I don't think people realize how old Bissinger's is.
350 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Before the United States.
Wow.
Before St. Louis. Yeah, they started in the 1600s.
That's
Paris, France.
That is shocking.
Candy maker to the king.
Man, I'm going to bring down a 350-year-old company. This is great. I'll ruin that in a day.
We always were like, you know, you always, because we always say, okay, if we own the company for 30 years, that's less than 10% of its,
right.
You know, we've had it for 5, and it's, so we're in the 1%, you know, we haven't even got to the 2% of ownership. So you do feel that responsibility with the 350-year-old brand.
In the chocolate universe, you got Hershey's over here. You got something we've never heard of that's $1,000 a bar. Like, where is Bissinger's in the firmament of chocolatiers?
You know, that's a great question. And our true motto is we never set out to be the biggest, only the best. And, you know, there's so many companies that are much bigger than us. But our job is, you know, every product is handmade, and all of the packaging, all the boxes are hand packed. And so there's so much attention to detail that goes in every Bissinger's product we make that it'll never scale to be a Hershey size. But that's really not what we want to be. We want to make sure that it stays to be this premium luxury brand for people that truly appreciate, you know, fine gourmet chocolate.
How much of what you do is people going into a Bissinger's as opposed to getting it delivered and things like that?
Great question. About 20% of the business would be in our own local retail stores, which we have 3 here in St. Louis. We have the Plaza Frontenac location, St. Louis Galleria, and then the Candy Kitchen on the Hill. About another 40% of the business is online. So the online business is really strong. And if I'm doing my math correctly, the last 40% would be the national wholesale. So we've had tremendous success lately. We're in all 700 Barnes & Nobles across the country. We're in Dillard's for the holidays. We're in Neiman Marcus. And we're in locally here. We're in Dierbergs. We're in Straub. So really great retail partners from a local level, then a regional level, and then on the national counts.
So how many of the people that make the chocolate are actual chocolatiers? Are those the people who create it, but then you have like kind of like the equivalent of like a line cook who will then kind of help to put it together?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we have, you know, sometimes a pastry chef takes a product to completion. They actually take flour and water, and then they mix it, then they form it, then they extrude it, then they shape it, then they ice it, then they decorate it, and then they can get to the end of the day and say, see what I created. We always say that our mentality is it takes a village. So the candy makers start with sugar and vanilla and heavy cream and butter, you know, what all of the ingredients to make the caramels and truffles and toffee and marshmallow, and then they make the centers. Then there's a team that actually runs it through, whether it's a depositor, whether it's a cutting machine, whether it's hand pressed to bring it into the ball or the square or the rectangle piece. And then there's another team that dips it in milk dark or white chocolate. So that's a team of 12 then. And then there's a team that's decorating. So it could be the box of chocolates that I brought in, that truffle collection, may have had 60 people involved in just to create that box. Now, 60 people involved will create thousands at a time, but it takes the entire team, and then it goes to the packing department. Then the packing department gives it to the warehouse. The warehouse gets, you know, so it's amazing how, you know, different we are as a manufacturer than other. Yeah.
We're talking to Dan Abel Jr. here, the Chief Chocolate Officer at Bissinger's. So if we could time travel back 350 years ago, do you think we would recognize chocolate the same way that we do today, or do you think it was substantially different?
Yeah, I would say very different. So chocolate in solid form is about 200 years old. So drinking chocolate was a big thing back in the day. I mean, some of the original recipes from Bissinger's are the French fondant, candy nuts, bonbons, drinking chocolate, and then we kind of combined that, so as chocolate commercialized into a solid chocolate form, where we could take some of those candied pecans or bonbons, or the caramel recipe does actually go back 300 years, but there wasn't a chocolate dipped salted caramel, for example, back then. We took all of those concepts that were around then and kind of brought them together.
Andrew, should we bring back an Andrew Stoll's drinking chocolate for modern times?
I wouldn't mind a drinking
chocolate.
I saw
you flinch when Dan said drinking chocolate.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a fine drinking chocolate.
Maybe bathing chocolate for you?
Sure.
They may have had that too.
That's awesome. Yeah. Tell us about the turkey.
So all the turkeys are handmade. It actually is three molds that come together. And then we decorate them. So there's a team that decorates the red chocolate, which is actually natural chocolate. Then there's the dark chocolate that goes on. And then we actually start pouring and spinning them. So each turkey takes about 45 minutes.
And so it's $99.
Yep.
It truly seems like a bargain, because not only is it a big slab of chocolate, but it's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. We call them loss leaders. You know, there's certain things when we do a true costing, it should cost more. Mm-hmm. But we want to make sure that it's something that's affordable for people, you know, to really put on their Thanksgiving table to kind of crown the table.
Can you imagine being a kid?
So can I have that instead of turkey?
Your parents pull that out?
I mean, my kids participate. I mean, we have a turkey, and my kids, it's a hammer, and it's a dull knife, not a sharp knife. And, you know, usually the oldest kid gets to take the first swing at it, and then when it breaks, everybody gets their bag and gets to take piece. I mean, it's an experience of
that's a good
Thanksgiving.
Idea.
It's going to be my house.
That's a good idea. That's cool. Ray, you have a question?
Except I get the hammer.
Yeah, Dan, you brought in the 1668 collection. I'm just so taken with it. It's this gorgeous blue box with a gold seal. Just tell us a little bit about this.
Oh, thank you so much. So I had this vision about 2 years ago, and I call them the 3 a.m. visions, because at the holidays, 6 months of the year, I wake up in the middle of the night and I have some idea and I write it down. Half of them are terrible, but this one kept coming back to me. And so the first kind of generation of chocolates were all molded, kind of like you see in that box, versus a truffle is enrobed, where it goes through that waterfall chocolate. So we do both. And so we wanted to kind of go back, and we call to, first of all, the color is that Paris blue, that really rich color that you see, you know, in the Palace of Versailles, which is where Bissinger's products were consumed at one time, in the 1668 collection, because although we don't know when Bissinger started in the 1600s, in 1668 was the year that King Louis XIV appointed Bissinger's as the Confiseur Imperial, which means confectioner to the empire. So we think that that's a good enough date to start. And so that's really where we mark our 350-year legacy from there. So we named it that collection. And then every single one of those pieces were kind of, some of them are really old recipes, like the Grand Marnier cream was a really famous piece for Bissinger's at one time. But some of them were true passion projects. And I've had one example in there is the pear cinnamon caramel. It was something we created from the, you know, we took the Bissinger's Versailles vanilla caramel, which is the classic caramel. We added the cinnamon, we added the natural flavor to it and worked with it. And then we sampled it and everybody was like, this is the most amazing thing in the world. I've never, you know, and I said, yeah, you never thought pear and cinnamon would be so good until you tried it. So there were about 15 pieces that got narrowed down to those top nine. And then we previewed it to some VIPs and then we launched it on September 6th. And it's been a really, really good response. So we're really pumped about that one.
Your birthday, Dave.
Yeah.
See, that was on purpose.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Got to sync these things up, right?
Yeah. You really do. You really do.
Sometimes you get lucky.
Kevin, you had a question?
Well, I was just going to ask if I can have the turkey for my turkey dinner instead of dinner.
Instead of actual turkey.
Yeah. If that's like healthy.
I think so.
No, I was just teasing.
Yeah.
So does the French connection get you?
It does, because I knew that there was the history in France. That was my second major in college. I've spoken for a long time. But I didn't know the length, right? Because everybody knows Bissinger's, and you know loosely the history. But I didn't know that very specific, that it goes back to the 1600s. And I had seen the label, the Confiseur Imperial, that
here
thing.
He goes.
Oh, you do that better than me.
Yeah.
There he goes.
I have to show off.
Yeah.
But I didn't make that connection. I just thought it was a slogan as opposed to, no, this actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was actually the chocolate that the king wanted served at Versailles.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Bissinger's has had so many different kind of, you know, it's been around for so long. And so in St. Louis, for example, when there was just one store in McPherson, every customer knew the history. And then as they expanded over years before my time, it kind of, you know, the product, you know, maybe the feature was in July where it was raspberry season or September's blackberry season, the product kind of took the subject. And so I really try hard to make sure that every product we sell now talks about the history, whether it's on the packaging, on that 1668 box, for example, there's a whole story inside the box on all the new products. We talk about the history of the brand. And you know, and it's funny, we're at 97 years in St. Louis now, so we're going to be coming up to 100.
See, that's the part that I know. And I think that's the part that most people know, but you don't know the 260 before that.
Well, and that's what I think is going to be so fun when we celebrate 100 years in St. Louis. It's going to be a major deal for Bissinger's in St. Louis, but it only talks about one third of the history of the company. We still believe, and we've never been able to find anyone to tell us we're wrong. We believe it's the oldest chocolate company in the world.
It's 1927, right? Is when you started here?
So we moved here in 1927. It incorporated in the States in 1845. So we have trademark law shows that first in use is in 1845, but the brand history, the start of it is 1668. So...
1927 is when my mom was born.
Get out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We're just inextricably
tied. I have a better one for you, though, because you're two for two, but I think I have the ultimate Bissinger story. So I found out through, you know, we were going through, after a couple of years of owning this company, we were going through some of the archives, and we found the last Bissinger family member's death certificate, who died in 1945-ish. And we pulled it out, and we were reading it, you know, and it's occupation, home address, and et cetera, et cetera. But I get to the bottom, and the physician that signed his death certificate was my great grandfather.
Wow. That is nuts. That is nuts.
You're talking about those spooky coincidences earlier. Yeah. That right there is.
That was like the, oh my God, there was an Abel that knew a Bissinger. And I said, this all makes sense now.
Sure,
you know,
does.
This all makes sense.
Dan, how do people get the turkey?
So a couple ways. Online, Bissingers.com is the, if you're not in St. Louis, but they are all at our three retail locations here in St. Louis.
You can check out Facebook, right? We're going to put a picture of me and Dan and the turkey up on Facebook. You can't have that turkey. That's my turkey. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. We'll
pleasure.
See each other soon.
Thank you.
I'm breaking my rules. I watch this CBS Saturday morning show, and they have a segment called The Dish, where they feature something and then they eat it, and I get so mad. And I'm always like, oh, I hate watching or listening to people eat food that I'm not eating. Now we're like, oh, the chocolate truffles.
Yeah, but we get to eat them.
Can you say Andrew Stoll's bathes in Bissinger's chocolate in French?
No, se baigne dans le chocolat. I think that's close. That's
you
may
could
not
have
be,
said anything.
That may not be exact. That might be off a little bit.
I didn't manage to work it in, but he was talking about one of the process of chocolate making, and he said waterfall chocolate.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, that's what I want. What? More than a bath, more than drinkable chocolate. I would like
call the waterfall.
I would like the chocolate waterfall.
Enfolded. He used a word that really got me. About the truffles,
mm-hmm.
enveloped or enfolded or something like that.
Something like that.
I was looking at their website and they do have the hot chocolate on sale. So just throwing it out there. You could make this happen, Andrew.
Chocolate really is one of the things. Now, look, I'm not above a Hershey's bar. I'm not above a Twix or a Kit Kat. It's Halloween season. But when you have really good chocolate, you can really tell.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you can.
Can't
you
guys bust that turkey.
What's your kind of chocolate? Milk chocolate, dark chocolate?
Oh, dark chocolate's the
white
best.
White chocolate, which cannot be found anymore, as we know from our
honestly clothes. Like them all equally.
I do, too. I try to eat dark because it's healthier. At least that's what I've been told.
Yeah.
But I'm from South Texas. Give me milk.
Yep. Baby, it just
happens. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 233.
I thought he was signaling to me.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Fine.
You were confused by him holding up a pencil and waving it in front of his face.
Yeah, I was drumming on the...
Yeah.
Bear.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
It's okay. I just thought he was like waving at me like, I need your attention right now.
I looked up and I saw both of you like looking at me.
Well, I saw her look, and so then I looked, and then I saw what was going on. I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay, so this is very inside baseball, but I'm like looking into the little studio where Michael Calhoun does his news.
Yep.
You can also see the reflection from outside of the studios, and there is a tree branch that will wave. And all the time, I think it's Michael Calhoun waving at me.
You?
Yeah, and I'm like, that's so nice.
That's
and then
funny.
I look up and it's the tree.
That's
it happens
really
like
funny.
Four or five times a week.
Pretty nice tree.
It is nice. It's very friendly.
It's like high rage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such an uneven person. I think I'm a pretty good guy in most ways, and I'm so vanishingly small in others. And here's one of them. I hate too strong a word. I loathe... and detest this whole LeBron James and his son, Bronny. As a father, I should celebrate it and be like, this is great, and it's history-making, and good for you both, and I hope you both have continued success. That's the guy I want to be. But my jealousy or resentment or whatever it is, and it's not like resenting Rizzuto, you know, who's a fellow radio guy or something. It's... resenting the greatest basketball player of all time, like there's anything I could do or have done.
Bronny's taking your spot on that team.
Exactly.
Dave.
Like I didn't even make my starting varsity team, and I'm like, oh, look at you two, father and son NBA players. Pshaw.
He thinks he's so great.
Do you guys have anything like that? Do you ever like just get small and dirty?
I can't think of like a great example right now, but absolutely all the time.
Well, you work on it and you have one by the end of this segment.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking yesterday, sorry to bring her up again, but like the Hawk Tua girl, she's never done anything to me, but I'm like, get her off my screen. I'm so sick of her. There's no reason for that.
I just like that.
Feel small and petty about it for no reason.
I've got that for both Coldplay and Oasis.
Oh,
hate them both. They suck, but everybody else likes them.
Right. And it doesn't affect you at all.
No, I just don't listen to it. Right,
all
right.
These people can go to an Oasis concert, have the time of their life, and it has no effect on you.
I listen, but I do occasionally on social media catch clips of those little jerko brothers and how nasty they are about everybody else. I'm like, I hate you so much.
Well, the good news is if you think they're nasty to everybody else, wait.
Oh, they're terrible to each other. I know. But they're so judgy. Like, we're the only real rock stars in the world. Like, no, you guys suck. Yeah, I get the Bronny James thing, too, because he's a Nepo
baby. Ever heard of Slipknot, idiots?
Yeah, that's a lot of it, too.
Yeah, because Bronny James, if he wasn't LeBron James' kid, is probably not in the NBA right now. He's a Nepo baby.
But that'll take care of itself, though, right?
Eventually, yes, right. I mean, like, when LeBron retires, if it turns out Bronny's not very good. Now, he may develop into a solid player or whatever, but, I mean, he was a bad player in college. And I know, look, I don't want to be judgy, but because he was young, he had a heart condition at one point. He had to recover from that. So, like, it's not just a clear line, like, this guy sucks. I don't think Bronny James sucks. I'm saying if Bronny James wasn't LeBron James' kid, he would still be in college and would not be in the NBA right now.
Okay, let's drill down on this and keep in mind I know nothing about it. But I'm just – so the Lakers hired him, for lack of a better word.
They drafted him with the last pick in the draft.
Okay, so they're like, we might as well give it to him.
Like nobody else took him. And the rumors were that that Bronny James' agent was selling people, if you draft him, he won't sign. He just wants to go to the Lakers. Which is fine. You know, he wasn't a first-round pick. He wasn't going to be that. In the second round, you're not going to bother with that kind of trouble, and he wasn't that kind of player. He's not his dad. He's not that. But that's not even a knock, because his dad's, like, one of the all-time greats and certainly the best of his generation.
It just seems super lame, though. Like, I wouldn't want that going around the league. That I was like, I only want to play with daddy.
Yeah, so daddy's going to take care of me.
If you draft me,
that's why Dave's right. That's why this is a detestable situation.
So when they like shared the court for the first time, like what were the Lakers like really up or something? Or was it just like,
well, I mean, it's a preseason game, so nobody cares.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know how it's going to go. Again, you never write off somebody who's willing to work. If he's a worker, speaking of Bronny, then he could turn himself into something competent and decent as we go by in time.
Interesting question. We were just talking about, isn't it nice when someone just tells you they're about to ask an interesting question?
This will be fascinating.
By the way, I'm beautiful. But we were talking in the first hour about the Dodgers and the Padres and how much they hate each other, and they're doing all these shenanigans and the crowds throwing things at the Padres players. Which motivates sports more? Love for your team or hate for another team?
As a fan or as a competitor?
Either way.
I mean, I think they're equal. But it's all about your circumstance. So if you're kind of in a stuck spot, right? Let's say that you're a team and you're in a rut and you're not really sure why, and happens like that. The other team pissing you off can get you out, right? Like, it's just that little extra spark. But other times it can be just your love of competition, just you're the way that you are. I don't know that there's an either or. I know fans tend to be fueled more by anger and frustration and hate for an opponent or dislike, but it doesn't mean that they don't experience the joy. It's just that that's a quieter experience, right? When you're happy, it's like customer complaints at a business, right? When a customer's happy, they're not generally going to go out of their way and send you a letter and say, boy, that is the best chocolate I've ever had. And they're more likely to send you a thing when they're mad.
Yeah.
Like, that sucked and it was ruined when I got it. And I think,
like, I bought the Andrew Stills bathwater chocolate and it was gamey.
Right. I mean, and as a sports fan, it's a similar thing, that you're louder when you're angrier. But it doesn't mean you're not there with the happy. You're just celebrating and happy.
I know that religion, the Bible, the Talmud, that it acknowledges hate. They don't pretend it's not there. But do you feel like as humans, it's just, we want to minimize it, but it's not avoidable?
Hate?
Yeah. It's just it certainly seems to occur naturally.
It's probably a part of why we are what we are.
Like, we hated more than the Neanderthals. They're like, take it down a notch, yeah. Clarence.
We're like, see you later, jerks. Enjoy extinction.
Hey, big nose.
But you wonder how much of what we call hate is actually hate.
Yeah, most of it's not.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you met Bronny James tonight, Dave, I think
I'd be a punk.
I think you'd be perfectly nice to him.
He's probably a nice guy.
Like about him.
And you remember, like, growing up, you would say, like, oh, I hate school. And your mom would be like, don't say hate. It's a very strong word. I think we just use that word without really meaning it most of the time.
I mean it with Oasis.
But it's not. I think she's totally right. It's not hatred. What you're feeling is not a hatred. It's just like
a strong dislike.
It's annoyance. It's going like, yeah. Oh my God, now yeah. I got to hear. Now every time I open, you know, ESPN.com or whatever for show prep for the next, you know, 2 months, it's going to be, oh, Bronny James, this, Bronny James. I don't care. Who cares about this? This doesn't matter. He's not, like Wheeler said, he's not a good player.
Bronny James successfully tied his shoes today.
Yeah, it's just because his dad's LeBron. They're on the same team, yada, yada,
Speaking
whatever.
Of kids and fathers and sons like LeBron and Bronny, you know how you do these little questionnaires when you're like in second grade? And I recently found Nick's. And this reminded me, and it hurt me so much when it happened live when he was in second grade. And it's like, what's your favorite candy bar? What's your this and that? And the question was, who's the person you most admire? And I'm like, here we go. And his answer was Maureen's dog, Murphy.
Murphy, yeah.
Well, yeah.
That one stung. I remember Maureen was just like, Dave. He's in second grade. It's his dog. And I'm like, yo, stupid.
Let's be honest, too. Dogs are better than people.
I always love, these go viral all the time. But it'll be like, what does your mom do when she's not at work? And the kids will be like, she likes to drink wine. And then it's a drawing of the mom, like, getting wasted.
There's one like that, too. Like, what is your dad best at? And one of them was like, farting.
Yelling.
Yeah, I found mine recently. I did.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And one of them was, if you could have anything in the world, what would it be? And I said, a million mile long Three Musketeer bar.
Wow.
Yum.
And then I did a drawing.
Yeah.
And then going out into the stars.
I used to lie. We had to journal in third grade, and I would just lie in the journal to seem more interesting.
Yeah, you had nothing going on.
I was always writing about, I should bring the journal in sometime. I was always writing about my cat, and I was always lying about my cat. And
what kind of lies did you make up?
That the cat could ice skate, and we ice skated together. Because I was briefly taking ice skating lessons. And my teacher was so nice about it, Mrs. Johnson. She was like, oh, I didn't even know cats could skate. Like, you can see her little notes in there. she didn't.
How old were you?
Third grade, so like 8.
Creative writing, that's good.
I had to do one of those in 7th grade, and I got an F on it, which I still, to this day, I don't think you should be judged on your journal.
Yeah.
It's a private contemplation, but all I said in every day was sledding. Went sledding.
Yeah.
Sledded.
So the F is probably more of like a lack of words.
I guess.
Yeah, I think that's what the F was for. She
wasn't like, this kid's way too into sledding.
But that,
I hate him for it.
But it was accurate.
Yeah, I know.
It's mid-April, and all he's writing is sledding.
I guess
sledding.
I could have journaled Gilligan's Island, but isn't that just assumed? So.
Yeah. I mean, that's how, if I did a journal now, that's how it would be. It'd be that simple.
Yeah, baseball.
Baseball today.
Baseball.
It was good.
Show.
It was good.
Baseball.
Won the World Series. Yeah, got a haircut.
Eat some chocolate.
Again.
The whole week is just haircut.
Need a haircut.
Need a haircut.
Think about haircut.
250 DGS on KMOX. 4 o'clock, we have the Think Tank with Kurt Barr and Alvin Reed. So you had a Krabby Patty?
I did.
Yum.
They're out there now?
I think today is the official day, but my Wendy's was selling them a bit early. You know, they saw
Did you know this, or did you get surprised?
Well, I was surprised when I saw the sign, and my wife, who was driving, I said, stop! Stop the car! Stop! And I mean, she's like, what? And I'm like,
I bet that's not an exaggeration.
No, it's not an exaggeration at all. And I was like, I think they have the Krabby Patties! And she's like, what are you talking about? So we went through, and I was like, ask them if they have the Krabby Patties. And she's like, well, what's your order? You have to tell me what your order is. But I was like, I don't know what the order is until we find out.
Jeez.
I'm pissing all of this at her in the passenger seat. And so they did have them, and I ordered one, and it was.
Uh-oh.
I have a lot of questions.
Okay, go ahead.
It was a hamburger.
Go ahead. Shut up, Wheeler. Yes, Rachel?
Was the packaging aesthetically pleasing?
No, it was in a Wendy's hamburger.
That wrapper. Stinks. They should have done like a blue wrapper or something like under
it
the
does,
sea.
It does not seem like they have any sort of like special packaging, which is part of the fun of these collaborations. So it did feel like a little bit of a disappointment.
What was the sauce like?
That was my other question.
The sauce is very good.
Burger sauce?
Big Mac-y?
Kevin, I swear... I'm going to.
Am I wrong? That's all
I'm
I want
to
know.
I'm going to throw you into the bottom.
Yeah, Kevin's
of the
really on thin ice on this one.
You really are. It is. It was a burger sauce, essentially. They are tight-lipped about what it is, but I believe it to be
Mayo and ketchup.
Shut up!
with some relish.
Mayonnaise and ketchup and some spices of various sorts.
Did you get the pineapple under the sea frosty?
I didn't, because I don't think I would like that.
Do you not like pineapple much?
I'm not a huge pineapple guy.
That sounds amazing.
I'm fine with it. And it was also like, this was like kind of second dinner. So it was like, okay. I didn't want to go too crazy with it.
I feel you.
Yeah. But I couldn't. I had to have it as fast as I could.
So was it a disappointment?
Not at all. It was, I mean, it tasted a lot like a Wendy's cheeseburger.
With burger sauce.
But shut up. But it was very good. Another an interesting thing about that is the controversy that it's been causing online, though, because now we all know what a Krabby Patty looks like. You can easily find a photo of it online, and they have the Krabby Patty arranged at Wendy's when you order it, but it's in the wrong order, which is interesting.
Huh?
Yeah. If it's supposed to, if in the cartoon it's like onions, lettuce, tomato, or whatever, they do like tomato, onions, lettuce. Like they've got it in the wrong, which is probably for ease of making the burger, if I had to guess. But yeah,
sounds like Wendy's really trying on this one. Maybe it's just the local Wendy's don't really care.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I think, especially the Wendy's that I usually go to, it's not.
I think they underestimated people's passion for this.
They might have.
I've been waiting for this for years. I've been saying on the air for years they need to make a Krabby Patty.
It's all she talked about in 2019.
Well, I told Megan, I was like, I've been waiting to have this Krabby, and Megan's like, yeah, 24 years. Yeah, I know. You told me already. Like, I was like, because, you know, I started to watch it. You know, it was.
How would you improve
years
it?
Years and years. Oh, boy.
Packaging.
Yeah, you know what? Cute packaging would
be fun.
They
would taste better with a better looking wrapper.
Yeah, cute packaging is a. I know what you're getting at, Kevin.
Yeah, we know you're being sarcastic.
I'm actually telling the truth.
Yeah, you got both of them mad at you.
Your sarcasm isn't working because I agree with you. But no, it cute packaging would go a long way, I think. And other than that, it wouldn't change much. I mean, Wendy's has really good burgers. And
they do.
This is basically just that with like a tangy, you know, flavorful burger sauce.
I read today there's a potato company that is laying off like 10% of its sales force because like 20% of their business is McDonald's fries, and McDonald's is down so far, especially fries, because they're doing all these meal deals. And who knew this was a thing? But people are downsizing their fry order, and that was enough to affect this company. Wow. People are literally losing their jobs. Because we're not eating enough McDonald's fries.
Mm.
Jeez.
They need to lower the price of the fries.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. That feels like they're trying to guilt us because we're not eating enough McDonald's fries. But I would say that for years now, that's where McDonald's has really been pushing things. Mm-hmm. Like a medium fry for $4 or whatever, that's absurd. They raised the price of fries by like 300% in the last.
Someone said to me the other day, and I thought it was one of the wisest things I've heard in a while, that it sucks so bad when you dig into your McDonald's bag and the fries are bad because it's so much of the meal at McDonald's.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So when they're undercooked, who undercooks a damn fry?
Yeah.
Just I like the soggy fries, kind of.
Oh, that's
the
why I don't like
ones?
Five Guys or some of the like Shake Shacks. I just
Wingstop
don't like. I don't like
floppy.
The wiggly fries.
Mm. I love them.
Yeah, they're fine, but they can't be too wiggly.
No wiggle, all snap.
Snap all is good. I prefer the snap.
Crispy.
As well. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll eat pretty much any fry.
Well, Andrew, would you order the Krabby Patty collab again?
Yeah, I will probably do it tonight. I had literally just been thinking about how I will.
Get the undersea pineapple thing.
All right, maybe
try
I'll try
it.
The.
Give
That's
it a shot.
The part that sounds amazing.
It sounds great. It's just I just don't know if that's something that I would necessarily. Also, I don't like. I like burger and ice cream to be very separate things. Like eat burger, then later go.
Gotta
have
live
ice
by
cream.
Rules.
But it's not an ice cream, is it? It's icy.
Man's gotta have a code.
Or is it ice cream?
It's a frosty, which is
Oh, it's a frosty. Okay.
Yeah,
right,
which
right.
is I guess that's more like a milkshake.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say right,
yep.
Rich?
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.